Buenos dias from Greenway Parks. This is the Rorschach Argentina update from the 18th of December, 2025. A quick summary of what's going down in Argentina. Kicking off this edition, President Javier Milei started the second half of his term with greater influence in Congress after his party, La Libertad Avanza, won the October midterm elections. The ruling party significantly increased its number of seats, but it still doesn't hold a full majority. The new congressional makeup allowed the government to launch special sessions focused on approving key measures, mainly the 2026 budget and ambitious labor, tax, and criminal code reforms. Some tax changes would raise the threshold for tax evasion and ban future budget deficits. The labor reform would increase flexibility in hiring and compensation rules. Milei also plans to adjust protections for glacier regions to encourage mining, sparking environmental pushback. His ability to build majorities will depend on alliances with other parties, especially in the lower house. Critics of the labor reform include Argentina's major public sector union, ATE, and the CGT Labor Federation, which called for a national strike and mass march on Friday the 19th in Buenos Aires to protest against the proposal. They called it enslaving, as it undermines workers' rights. The March to Plaza de Mayo includes rallies in all provinces in order to signal the growing union coalition's opposition against the government's accelerated push to debate the reform in Congress. In an update to a story in our previous show, Argentina successfully raised $1 billion in a domestic dollar-denominated debt sale, its first such issue since 2020 debt restructuring as part of Javier Milei's plan to re-enter global capital markets. The bond, called Bonar 2029, priced at 9.26% yield, drew mostly domestic investors and showed improvement over comparable secondary market yields, reflecting better investor sentiment after Milei's midterm election gains. Proceeds will help cover roughly $4 billion in upcoming bond payments, and the government is negotiating further financing with international banks. Even though demand topped $1.4 billion, Argentina missed its sub-9% yield target, and challenges remain, such as limited hard currency reserves and ongoing currency controls. Argentina's central bank announced that, starting in January 2026, the peso's exchange rate bands will adjust in line with inflation, replacing the fixed 1% monthly change that often overvalued the currency. The move is part of a broader monetary overhaul aimed at better reflecting economic conditions and strengthening market credibility, and has been welcomed by the International Monetary Fund. The central bank also plans to begin accumulating international reserves, reversing the earlier reluctance to buy foreign currency, fearing it would fuel inflation. Officials said reserve purchases could reach about $10 billion by the end of 2026. Authorities stressed that adjusting the bands with inflation does not automatically alter the exchange rate, and said the reserve building strategy responds to rising peso demand and seeks to reinforce financial stability. Still on economic updates, Argentina has recorded negative foreign direct investment, or FDI, for the first time in more than two decades as a wave of multinational companies sell off local operations and exit the market. Between January and November this year, the FDI reached a net outflow of about $1.5 billion, marking the first annual deficit since 2003. The trend reflects a broader shift away from foreign capital, even as the government has introduced tax breaks and incentives under the RIGI program, one of Milei's core reform policies, which offers benefits to investors in mining, oil and gas, and other industries to attract investment. Economists say the combination of economic stagnation, an appreciated peso, and weaker domestic demand has made the market less attractive for global investors, contributing to the historic reversal in FDI flows. On that note about foreign flows, we've got some news on the U.S.-Argentina bailout. In an interview with U.S. journalist Meghna Chakrabarty for WBUR, a renowned public radio station based in Boston, economist Monica DeBold and journalist Natalie Alcoba analyzed the rationale behind the move under which the U.S. extended up to $20 billion in support of Argentina amid a deep economic crisis, aiming to stabilize the peso and ease market stress. They explained that while the U.S. government avoids calling this arrangement a bailout, arguing that currency swaps are a standard market stabilization tool and could generate profits, it qualifies as a bailout in practice. From their perspective, the size of the intervention and the fact that the U.S. is stepping in to support a country outweigh the allegation that the deal is merely a neutral financial operation. Meanwhile, Argentina's inflation picked up pace, with consumer prices rising 2.5% in November, reaching an over 31% year-on-year inflation. According to data from the National Statistics Agency, INDEC, the increase marked a slight acceleration from October. Data from INDEC showed the sharpest rises in housing, utilities, and transport, while food prices had the greatest impact across regions. Economy Minister Luis Caputo said the annual rate remains among the lowest in 8 years, highlighting progress compared with previous peaks. However, higher living costs continue to strain households, with inflation pressures complicating the government's efforts to curb prices, rebuild reserves, and support economic recovery. Going back to law reforms for a bit, let's dive deeper into the changes that the government wants to introduce to the law that protects Argentinian glaciers. Through a bill already filed in the Senate, the government seeks to give provinces the authority to define the extent of protected glacier zones and decide whether to allow mining within them. According to the government, this would address interpretive uncertainties in the existing 2010 law and encourage investment in mining-rich provinces such as Jujuy and Salta in the north and Catamarca, Mendoza, and San Juan in the west. Environmental groups, however, warn that easing protections could put water sources at risk and weaken long-term, long-standing environmental safeguards. Up next, air traffic controllers in Argentina have announced a series of actions that will affect both domestic and international flights during the peak holiday travel season. After talks with the Argentine air navigation company, AANA, failed to resolve disputes over working conditions and agreements, the union, ATEPSA, said its measures will include restrictions on takeoffs on key dates in December. The planned actions reflect lingering tensions over pay, staffing, and operational issues that the union says AANA has not addressed, while the company says it remains open to negotiations. A new hearing with the Ministry of Labor is scheduled to avert or limit the impact on passengers. In some sad news for film lovers, on Saturday the 13th, renowned and beloved senior actor Héctor Alterio passed away in Madrid. Throughout his seven-decade career, he starred in four iconic Argentinian movies that were nominated for Academy Awards. In 1985, he starred in La Historia Oficial, which received the Oscar for Best Foreign Film. The movie remains a deep portrayal of the last Argentinian dictatorship. Alterio himself had to leave Argentina after receiving threats from the military government at the time. He also performed in La Patagonia Rebelde and Plata Quemada, two politically charged films that inspired new waves of movies and filmmakers. In international news, leaders of the South American trade bloc Mercosur will meet on Saturday the 20th, ready to sign a free trade treaty with the EU. The treaty would facilitate the EU's import of more vehicles, machinery, and wines into South America and allow Mercosur's members to export beef, soybeans, sugar, and rice into the EU. The treaty faces opposition from France and Italy, who say it would harm their farmers, while Germany, Spain, and northern European countries support it. Mercosur leaders grow impatient, warning that if the EU rejects the treaty, the offer may not last. And to close this edition, a recommended opinion piece published in the BA Times on the future of Argentina and its relationship with the U.S. The author, Norman Raimundo Benson, explores the extreme need for a plan to build national consensus in order to grow and how, without it, all assistance from the U.S. is useless. Read the full article in English with a link in the show notes. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check out our new t-shirts with the link in the show notes. Nos vemos la próxima semana.